Going to start 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look for a few minutes on what to expect in these last days. And we're in the last days, in case you're not sure of it and you don't know it. What's taking place in this old world, we're concerned about what's taking place here when we ought to be concerned about what's taking place over in the Middle East, because the Bible distinctly lays out that the conditions that prevail over there and the things that are coming to pass are going to show us that the time of the coming of Jesus is close and at hand. All of the nations that it talks about in Ezekiel 38 are aligned as it says that they will be. All of these things that are going on, and there's one thing that remains, and that is Israel dwelling in peace before Satan moves Gog, which is Russia, down into that land to take over Israel and take their wealth. And look at what they are being drawn out with now. They're being drawn out with this, the oil and these things that are the wealth and riches of the nations. And they are going to come out one of these days. And I'm persuaded that between now and that time, the Lord will return the clouds of the air, and he'll take those that are saved out of here with him, or those that are in Christ, as the Spirit through Paul set forth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. At any rate, what do we expect, what are we to expect in these last days? Paul, when writing to young Timothy, said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." 1 Timothy 3, in verse 1. After that he said what he did in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, you talk about perilous times all over the world. All over the world. We have young people in the big cities back east who are going out in gangs and taking over communities. These are children, some of them. Look at the turmoil, look at the mess. Then the nations, and look at the turmoil and all that's going on. And all of this should show us that Jesus is coming soon. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." What was the future in Paul's day is present today. So we could say they have come, rather than shall come. They have come. What effect? Again, we need to look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. We need to get busy because we're running out of time. And we need to reach those that we love and care about. We need to reach some that we don't really love or care about. We need to present the gospel to them, that power of God unto salvation, so that they will have an opportunity to be saved and escape some of the perilous times that will continue on this earth when we're taken out of here. So, what shall we expect in these last times in which we live today? Paul answered this question several times in the two epistles of Timothy. Notice the following: "Some shall depart from the faith." 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Now, that's not Paul speaking. That's the Spirit of God speaking and presenting the future that we might prepare for it. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil." This is happening right now in this day and time, in the day in which we live. It's happening. But why doesn't it affect us? Why don't we get concerned, worried about it? Well, yes, our faith and trust is in Jesus, and we know he'll take care of us. But why don't we care because of others not having that promise, not being blessed in that way? And when we know the only way that they're going to have it or be blessed is if we will present the word of God, unless we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some shall deny the faith, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This is happening today. Some shall cast off their first faith. 1 Timothy 5 verse 12 says, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Their first faith is in who? Jesus Christ. He is the Word. The Word is truth. They've cast off their faith concerning the Word of God. And as Brother Nathan brought out this morning, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. No surprise that faith in our day is gone or is lacking, because God's word is thrown out of every life or everyone's life in this world today. You say, well, no. Listen, you don't have the faith unless you have the true faith. And most of what's faith in Christianity out here today is good works for salvation, baptism for salvation, or you're good outweighing the bad. There's no faith. Because the faith that you have that works and that helps and benefits mankind is that which you get through Jesus. And brother, you got to have the word in order to do that. Many are casting off the faith for error, like they would cast off a dirty shirt. Many. Look at it. In my short lifetime, in the short time I've been in the Lord's work, 50 some odd years, the short time, we had 40 some churches in the work here that fellowship together in the ABA. We had another 30 or 40 churches that were in the old independent work that were all good, solid, sound churches who stood and contended for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And how many do we have today? 120 in California in the ABA work, 85 or 80 in the old California work, all of them with lineage and all of them with truth, and they have left their faith, departed. How many are there here today? About 11 in our work here, about maybe 20 that may be standing somewhat for the faith down in California. But are they? They've departed, gone away. The old California work, there are no churches left that are standing and contending and upholding the faith or continuing in the faith. Many have denied the faith for selfish reasons. They've erred from the faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Erred from the faith, pierced themselves through for many sorrows. What for? For money's sake. For personal pride, personal influence, to build the personal ego, make myself look good to others, gain the numbers, go with the crowd. You go with the crowd, you go with the world. You're not going with the Lord. Because he makes it clear. Broad is the way. Many that go in there at. But few that enter in that straight and narrow way. And by the way, that straight that you enter in is Jesus Christ. And the way is the way of faith. The word of God. Exactly. Some even professing truth, have erred from the faith. All of us know several who've done this very thing. How many brethren that have I had, close brethren over the years, that have turned from the truth of God's word, have compromised? What's the deal? What does it say to you? It says to me, the Lord's coming soon. It says to me, I need to get off of my rear end and get to preaching the gospel of Christ. I need to get away from this man-fearing spirit that I have, and I need to proclaim it to those that I'm around. If I'm around a person for 5 minutes, I should have already talked to them about Jesus. I should have already mentioned the Lord to them. You know, we make this difficult. I hear, you can't preach the gospel unless you preach them the whole Bible. You can preach the gospel to people by saying one word. I've seen a lot of people saved over the years who struggled. I thought they never were going to receive the Lord. And I ask them a three-word sentence, and they got saved. How do you feel about Jesus? Did you know that his saying, praise the Lord, will make them think about God? And they work all day long to keep from thinking about God, because deep down they know what they need. And they can deny that there is God. But yet, he is. What are we in this thing for? We're not in it for money. Because I'm telling you, there's no money in the Lord's work. Not in the true Lord's work. Not in the truth. Not among scriptural New Testament churches. And that, of course, being the reason that a lot of our churches have gone astray. Because we have preachers who start out in the faith and start standing and contending and start doing the work that God's called them to do. And they'll go to a seminary, and the seminary will tell them, well, you don't go to a church if they can't pay you a good salary, or go to the church that pays you the best salary. In a church in particular down in California, they had a really nice building, parsonage, everything. Young preacher came to the church, led them into modernism. The church got down to just a few people. He bilked them out of the property, the parsonage, and the church building, sold it, took the money, and hit the road. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy was going to happen? It's happening today. It's happening today. Some shall overthrow the faith of others. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They'll put in a false doctrine or false teaching, to put in their own ideas or opinions instead of presenting the word of God, and they will wind up in that condition. There's surely a reckoning day for those who are deliberately leading others astray. Their judgment will be very severe. 2 Timothy 3, verses 4 through 9. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." We've seen that right here in this church a number of times. Then Matthew 23:3-8, or says, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Now, brother, that's feeding the ego. And I'll tell you what, we have this happen to us from time to time when we're not careful. Listen, like the old saying used to be, a young preacher or young pastor, he's like a wasp. He's biggest when he first hatches out. He knows more, got all the answers. He can do more and do better than anyone else. Same situation. Greetings in the markets, or they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye your brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say what whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctify the gift? So, many shall become reprobate concerning the faith. Many will be void of understanding concerning the faith. 2 Timothy 3:8 says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Truly, we're in the last days, because these things are prevalent all around, everywhere that you turn. The latter times of which Paul wrote, but what is our attitude to be? To many have just about given up. The ship deserted. All about we hear of some, our own people, who have quit and have given up the fight. They've taken the defeatist attitude, so they no longer seek to advance the cause of Christ. They go year after year without winning a soul to Christ. But brethren, this is not the answer. We're here for one purpose, for the Lord to use us. We are vessels he placed in his house that he might use to reach others with the gospel of Christ. A vessel is to be used. And if we don't yield ourselves to him to be used of him and put forth the effort, then we're not going to serve the purpose for which he has us here. And if we be in that condition, how can we expect our family and loved ones who are lost or out in the world to turn to Jesus? There's two things we should do first of all. We should look up, lift up our heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And second, we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Jude 3. Mm-hmm. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Mm-hmm. We should earnestly contend for the faith. We should earnestly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should earnestly pray that God will burden our hearts, that we might see the need of sacrificing that others may know Jesus as their Savior. We need to pray that God will burden our heart for the lost souls around about us. I don't think we believe that people are going to die and go to hell. We think that Christianity, so-called out here, is going to bring them to Jesus. They are not going to bring them to Jesus. We just read about it. They make them full more child of hell than we were in the beginning. We need to wake out of sleep, as Paul, the Spirit through Paul to the church at Rome said. We need to awake out of sleep. We need to realize what time we're living in. We need to understand that we don't have a long period of time. Did you know they're in process of making peace over there in the Middle East now, and they say they've made it? What's that? What should that tell us? When those cities are dwelling there unwalled in peace, then this battle of Armageddon is going to come down. The prophecies are going to fulfill. Already in our time, Israel was scattered into all nations. They've been regathered. They become a nation. Jerusalem has become their capital. All of it prophesied. All of it clear in the scripture. And when that happens, the times of the Gentiles are over. That's what the Bible says. Where are we? Well, unless you believe in the middle of the week, which the Bible will not bear up by any means, or if you believe at the end of the week, which the Bible no way, no shape or form will bear up, then you're secure. But what are you going to suffer meantime? Listen, Jesus is coming. He's coming as a thief in the night. That means it has to be the first of the tribulation period, or pre-tribulation period. And all the signs are about us. If we really believe the word of God, we're going to be looking up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. It's closer than any of us might think. We need to follow his divine instructions that we might be used of him, and that we being used of him may make a difference. Psalms 126, 5 and 6, why would we not? Why are we concerned? Why do we worry? Why are we so hesitant? Because God promised us that we would be successful when we went and preached the gospel as he would have us to do. And if we would then stand and contend for that faith in which the gospel is contained, that it might continue on. 126 of Psalms, verses 5 and 6. They that sow with tears shall reap with joy. He that seeth, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, now that's without a doubt. Didn't he say, I'll make you to become fishers of men? Make you to become fishers of men. If you fish for men, you're going to catch them. That was his intent. All right, we have the guarantee here in Psalms. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Now, we have a little bit of difficult weeping for individuals that we don't have a burden for, of individuals we don't have any sympathy or empathy for, or individuals that we don't care anything about, when we ought to care about every soul. We ought to care about every man and woman and child, and we ought to be burdened and troubled to keeping us awake at night and praying for them, that we might have an opportunity, or that we might take an opportunity to talk to them and tell them about Jesus. I got a no-account brother in Kentucky I call and talk to once in a while. And he enjoys the conversation until I start talking to him about Jesus. The other day we were having a really good conversation and talking about this and that and other things. And then when I got around to talking to him about Jesus and telling him he needed to get his family in church, the other end of the line went fairly silent. And it wasn't but a minute or two when we sang our goodbyes. Listen, we need to be telling them. We get discouraged because they won't listen. We don't get any response. We won't have any success. Listen, we don't know when we present the Word of God what's going to happen to that. It'll either have an immediate effect on them and we won't know anything about it, or it'll have an immediate effect and they'll submit and do what the Bible's teaching them to do. Or we have planted a seed and somewhere down the line, they're liable to wake up and turn to Jesus. Brother Spencer, use him as an example, huh? He got told about it, he got bugged about it, he got irritated about it, he got mad about it for a long time. I didn't talk to him, didn't see him, because I talked to him and told him about it when I saw him, and he didn't like it. But then, one day, the Lord brought things around to where the light came on. And what he was told by me and by this church and others finally sunk in, and he saw the need. And as a result of that, we have a nice young lady in our midst. Yeah. See how it works? But you just got to tell them about it. You got to present the word to them. That's the thing. And again, we are promised if we'll go forth burdened. That's what that weeping means. We go forth and we're concerned. Go forth, and our desire is to see them turn to Jesus, see them snatched out of the fire, as it were. We'll go that way and present the word of God to them, present the gospel to them. He's guaranteed us results. We got no business worrying about the results immediately, but just present it knowing there will be results. First time we got the gospel preached to us, some who were even raised in church, the first time that you finally stopped for a few minutes and made a profession of faith, it didn't do you any good, but thank God you were continued under the word of God, and then finally you woke up. You got saved. If you go forth weeping, sowing this precious seed, he says you'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What gospel are we to preach? We're to preach the death of Christ according to the scripture. We're to preach the burial of Christ according to the scripture. We're to preach the resurrection of Christ according to the scripture. We're to present him as being alive today and on the right hand of the throne of God, and assure people that it is real, that he is real, that he is there. People need to understand, you know what? They are bombarded so much that there is no God, and that verse one thing and another, that it's really hard to get through to them. But we're not going to get through to them unless we become burdened and concerned, and we're willing to make some sacrifices in order to preach the gospel to them, so that that power that accompanies that gospel, that Acts 1:8 power that accompanies the gospel, will work in their hearts and in their lives. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, Jesus promised that if you'll put your faith and trust, that you'll believe in him with the heart, that he'll save your soul. If you're here tonight, you know the Lord as your Savior, you haven't come for baptism, united with the New Testament church, listen, the reason he saved you was for you to submit to baptism and become a member of a New Testament church. That's the sole purpose for still being here tonight. If you're here and you got irritated at this message and the one this morning, will you search your soul and figure out why? And then when you figure out why, will you do something about it? And I'll guarantee you that something will be you presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody. Mm-hmm. If you're here, the Spirit's convicted your heart, and you need to get your heart right with him. Come, confess your sin. He says he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Won't you do that as we stand? What shall we sing, brother?